Turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 18, if we can. Matthew chapter number 18. Ooh, careful. Matthew chapter number 18. This is the last message of our Sound Mind series, and we're going to cover forgiveness. And next week, we're going to get into a Christmas series, specifically the Fear Nots of Christmas, as we kind of continue the general idea of a sound mind. But Matthew chapter number 18, today, of course, we're going to look at forgiveness. Once you're there, let's stand if we can. Matthew chapter number 18, we'll begin in verse number 15 of this chapter. Matthew chapter number 18, and we'll begin in verse number 15. It says there, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, then thou hast gained thy brother. But if he'll not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear him, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that I shall ask, it shall be given for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. It's an insane amount of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him and said, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all, just like he said to the king. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison that he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth or angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at this topic of forgiveness, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord. Help us to forgive. Lord, help us to have the strength, to have the courage, Lord, to have the understanding, Lord, to forgive in those areas that people have hurt us. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, change us. Lord, challenge us because of what your word says today. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've been considering this topic of having a sound mind and some of the effects of mental health, I was debating a last message before we got into our Christmas season, and really was debating several different passages, but Lord kept leading me back to forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very important thing in our mental health. It's very necessary. If we can go to the next slide, Brother Brian. This is some statistics. These are specifically of Bible-believing Christians. Here's a statistic from Lifeway. They said this is 60% of Christians say there's someone that they regularly struggle with forgiving. 60%, if we took our entire congregation here, however many people that is today, we took that, 60% of you would be struggling with forgiving somebody. If we can go to the next slide, Brian. 23% of Christians say there's someone that they can't forgive. That means one in four have someone in their life that they can't or won't forgive. Next slide, if we can. This is the percentage of Christians that say that they have never offered unconditional forgiveness or that they are unsure if they have ever done that. One in four say they have never forgiven unconditionally or are unsure. Next slide, if we can. Forgiveness is very necessary to our mental health. Wow, that got really grainy. I don't know what happened there. It lowers our rates of depression. It lowers levels of anger. It reduces anxiety. It has a higher satisfaction of life. If we can go to the next slide, Brother Brian. What can forgiveness do? A whole lot of things. You can see the whole list. Forgiveness is necessary in our lives, friends. And forgiveness is something that really we ought be all about as Christians. Here in this passage, the Lord goes and makes a very strong case for what forgiveness should look like. So today we're going to look at three characteristics of our forgiveness. And what I want you to do is I want you to consider in your life, does my forgiveness look like this? First off, forgiveness should be proactive. Forgiveness should be proactive. What does proactive mean? I'm not talking about the zit medication, okay? And what does proactive mean? It means that you take the initiative, that you go and seek it out. Look at verse number 15, if we can. I believe it makes it very clear here. Verse number 15, here's what it says. Catch the first phrase. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Catch this, and I want to make it very clear here. The burden of action is not on the person that did the behavior. The burden of action is on us that are hurt. Let's give an example, okay? Josh, come on up. It's Josh's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday to Joshua, okay? It's Josh's birthday tomorrow. He's going to get a haircut for his birthday. All right, so, just kidding. Can't get a haircut like mine. No, but Josh, okay, I'm going to get you a gift tomorrow, okay? It'll just be money. And so that's all he wants anyways. I'm going to get him a gift. Now, let's just say that I didn't give Josh a gift for his birthday. No gift. No gift for Josh's birthday. How would you feel?
You'd feel offended.
You'd feel offended. Now, the reality is Josh would feel offended. Probably he would, knowing Josh and the guy he is, he would probably go and be like, well, you know, that was kind of, whatever, Dad didn't give me anything for my birthday. That's kind of stupid, right? Yeah. Be a little bit upset. The burden, though, biblically, is not on me to go to Josh and say, hey, Josh, I'm sorry. I forgot about your birthday. I didn't get you a gift. The burden biblically is on who, friends? Josh. The burden is on the one that's hurt. Do you not see that in verse 15? If your brother trespasses against you, what do? Go to him and tell him. Thank you, Josh. You can have a seat. Let's look at a few different characteristics. We got to hurry. Number one, God's command. God's command, first off, is to examine the hurt. Verse number 15, it says very clearly, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him. You say, well, Pastor, why is the burden on us, the one that's hurt? Why would the burden be there? Well, first off, because you have to examine whether it's something that really needs to be forgiven. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2, you have it in your handout if you can look at it. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. What does that mean? That means there are some things that we as Christians should just put up with. You with me, folks? There are some things in our lives that we should just put up with. Not every burden is something that we have to make a big deal about. Would you not agree? While we were in greeting time, I did something on purpose, okay, to just be ridiculous. I bumped into a few people just to be annoying. Okay? So on purpose, while we're greeting and while we're shaking hands and everything, I just bumped into some folks because I knew I was going to use this as an illustration. I bumped into some folks. Now, probably no one here is super offended. Oh my goodness, Pastor bumped into me while we were greeting. Right? If you are, I'm sorry. Okay? But probably no one here is like, oh my goodness, that pastor, he is such a jerk. We're greeting people and he just bumped into me. Like, what on earth is up with that guy? No, we don't do that. Why? Because there are certain things that we just get over, right? First off, what do we have to do? We have to examine the hurt. Is it really a hurt that's necessary? Number two, we have to explain the hurt. That is, we go and tell him his fault. So in the case of Josh and I, Josh would go to me and say, hey, Dad, you know, you forgot my birthday, which is kind of sad because you're my dad. And, you know, that's kind of tough and that kind of hurt me. And, you know, so I would like extra money this year, you know, or whatever it is. Okay, we go and we explain what was actually wrong. And by the way, can you say, probably some of you are thinking, well, but Pastor, that's kind of awkward. That's kind of tough. Yeah, that's kind of tough. That's kind of awkward. It's kind of difficult. But if you can't explain the hurt, if you can't talk about the hurt, if you can't go to the person that hurt you and talk about it and mention it, then is it really worth you not forgiving? Examine the hurt, explain the hurt. Number three, expect healing. Verse number 15, he goes through this whole passage. And sometimes we talk about this and think of this as a church discipline passage, and it certainly is. But the emphasis is on getting the burden and the issue and the sin out so that you can gain your brother. The reality, if you go to someone and you say, hey, you know what you said, what you did, how you acted is something that hurt me. If you do that, face that, you handle that, the expectation is that there's reconciliation. I was talking to someone this past week after Thanksgiving dinner, and they mentioned that someone in the church went and got upset with them that they were sitting in their seat. By the way, if I ever hear about that and I ever see that happen, I'm going to get all over you, okay? No one has assigned seats, okay? Except for me. That's mine, okay? But no one else has assigned seats in here. You all with me, folks? You all with me? We don't have assigned seats, okay? Sit where you want. I don't care, okay? But the reality is they went and they said, well, this person said this about my seat, and it kind of hurt me. What did I say? I said, well, did you talk to him about it? Because, friends, if you don't go to your brother and mention it and deal with it, then what happens? If it hurt you, then it should be something that they know about. You all with me, folks? You can never resolve it. You can never move forward unless you deal with it so that you can resolve and so that you can come back together. Number one, you examine the hurt. Number two, you explain the hurt. Number three, you expect healing. Number four, you excuse the hurt. In this passage, it goes and says that, hey, you've gained your brother. In the parallel passage in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4, it says this, if he repents, forgive him. Then in the next verse, he says, if he repents, changes his mind, forgive him. Even if he does it seven times in a day, if he repents, forgive him. Notice this, friends. We are not judging as to how repentant they are. If he repents, forgive him. Nice and simply, let's give another illustration if I can. Okay, Andrew, come on up. Yeah. He's like, I thought it was going to be Josh. No, it's Andrew. Okay? Andrew has his truck. I'm jealous of Andrew's truck. My truck still doesn't run. Okay? Andrew's truck is nice. Now, let's just say I go, and I have our van, and I'm parked next to Andrew's truck, and I just accidentally open the door and hit the side of Andrew's truck. Okay? And then I go to Andrew, and I say, Andrew, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? What would you say? Thank you, brother. I'm glad I'm preaching this message. No, he would forgive me, of course. Now, let's just say later on that day, I go and I do the exact same thing again. I go to Andrew. I said, Andrew, I'm sorry. I just made another dent in your truck. I'm so sorry. Andrew, would you please forgive me? I just dented your truck again. What are you supposed to do, biblically? Say it in the mic.
I forgive you.
Good, good. And then a third time I go, and later on he's parked, and he's moved his car now. He's trying to hide. And I pull up next to him, and again I bang the side of his truck, and I say, Andrew, I'm so, so sorry. Third time I dented your truck. Andrew, would you forgive me? What are you supposed to do? Good. And fast forward, the seventh time. You all with me, folks? The seventh time. At this point, Andrew's truck is covered with dents. Right? It now is starting to look like my truck. Okay? If you see my truck, that's the one with the weeds growing around it. Okay? It's starting to look like my truck. It has dents. It looks like he actually does work in it, which he doesn't do. And so it's looking damaged, and I go to Andrew and I say, Andrew, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? What's Andrew supposed to do biblically, folks? Forgive seven times. Same offense. Can I tell you, friends, what is it saying? That we ought be forgiving people. Now, the reality is this. The reality is that's hard to do. Y'all with me, folks? Seven times in one day, 70 times seven in an offense, that's tough to do. We laughed at this illustration because, frankly, it kind of seems ridiculous to us, does it not? How on earth would someone that keeps banging it and keeps doing it, why would we keep forgiving them? We do it because Christ forgave us. We do it because Christ forgave us. Thank you, Andrew. You can have a seat. You guys are like, oh my goodness, who is he gonna pick next? All right. Number five, examine the hurt. Number two, explain the hurt. Number three, expect healing. Number four, excuse the hurt. Number five, exit from the hurter. Now, I want to be very clear about this. I am not in any way saying that you should just put up with abuse. I'm not in any way saying, hey, you know, when you forgive, you know, everything's just going to be okay. In the case of Andrew, if Andrew knows that I am constantly hitting the side of his truck, he's going to do some things to protect his truck. You with me, folks? And that is fine, and that is okay. In this passage, it goes through some different steps to do in this case. You go and someone hurts you, then you go to that person personally and say, hey, you know what you said, what you did, it hurt me, it was offensive, it caused damage, can you please resolve this? They say no. So you go and you take a couple other people. Hey, you know, this is something that's really hurt your fellow brother in Christ. So this has happened. Then you go and you continue and you continue and you continue. But look at verse 17 if you can. Verse 17, don't miss it. Verse 17, if he neglect to hear them, tell to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. What does that mean? That means that there is a time where you go and you say, okay, well, we're going to separate. Notice this. Forgiveness is not just giving in to allowing yourself to be abused. You with me, folks? Forgiveness is not just, oh, well, you can just abuse me, and you can just hit me, and you can just hurt me, and you can just be destructive toward me. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness does sometimes separate oneself from someone else. But catch it, don't miss it. That doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. You with me, folks? Even in this case, multiple times this person said, no, I'm not listening, I'm not paying attention, I'm not changing, I'm going to be what I am. Multiple times, it's brought before the whole church and still they won't hear. You move off, but you still have a heart of love. How did Jesus respond to publicans and sinners? Certainly, there was a distinction between them, but what did he do? He loved them. He tried to lead them to himself. He tried to get them saved. There's certainly an exit, but there's still a desire for reconciliation. God's command, God's concern. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. This verse is kind of a difficult verse, but I think this is what it's saying. Number one, God's concern is his punishment. Look at verse number 18. Remember, what's the whole context of verse 15 through 17? It's that this person has hurt you, and they keep hurting 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 you. Finally, you go and say, okay, you're like a heathen man, you're like a publican, we're separating, we're not going to have that close relationship. Look at verse 18 then. It says this, Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. What's this saying? Here's what it's saying, friends. You have someone that's hurt you and hurt you and hurt you and hurt you and hurt you, and they will not listen and they will not change. That does not mean that you take it upon yourself to correct them. You give it to God. You with me, friends? You give it to God. You go and you say, Lord, you avenge. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, here's what it says. You see it in your handout. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That means put up with it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What's he saying? Here's the principle, folks. Listen to it. Hey, we try and approach and we try and resolve. And we try and win our brother back. But when the day is done, it's up to God to take care of it. It's not up to us. You all with me, folks? We don't hold bitterness. We don't hold grudges. We don't, oh, I'm going to get back at them. Oh, someday I'll make them pay. No, friend, you have missed it. You have missed it. You have missed it. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. It's punishment, but number two, his presence. Verse 18, a very familiar verse, probably one of the more familiar verses in this passage. It says, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done of them which is in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Why on earth is it talking about that in the middle of a passage on forgiveness? Here's what it's saying. Hey, God is in the midst of us. God is there. So if God is there, then there shouldn't be any bitterness, any anger, any hostility here in the midst. You all with me, friends? There shouldn't be any unforgiveness in this church. You all with me? There shouldn't be any unforgiveness in your home because God is there. There shouldn't be any unforgiveness in your workplace with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ because Christ is there. If Christ is there, then there shouldn't be hostility. Number one, forgiveness should be proactive. Can we say that together? Forgiveness should be what? Proactive. That means you go and you take the initiative. Don't wait for them. Oh, when they ask forgiveness, then I'll forgive them. No. Just forgive. Just forgive. Number two, forgiveness should be persistent. Here's Peter's response. I love Peter. Verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Here's some of the background of it. Number one, there's cultural forgiveness. Cultural forgiveness in their culture, the idea was, okay, if someone does something against you, you can forgive them three times. After that, blast them. I'm paraphrasing, okay? But blast him. You're okay to get revenge. You're okay to take him down. Three times you forgive. After that, do whatever you want. That's really what they would do back in Bible times. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? You've heard that expression, right? Someone goes and gives you a black eye. Well, you forgive them three times. After that, you get a black eye back. Amen, praise the Lord. Right? Cultural. The idea here is that they would only forgive minor offenses. They wouldn't forgive major ones. They would only forgive occasional offenders, not the ones that are constant. So Peter goes, and he knows that in culture, and he knows that Jesus constantly said, hey, you've heard it said, but I say unto you, and he always takes the higher standard. So Peter here is thinking, and he's thinking, okay, so I know what Jesus is going to say. He's going to say, hey, we need to do more than the three times. So he's like, okay, I'm going to double it, and you know, I might add another one just to be super sure. Right? So he says, hey, how about seven times? Is seven times good, Jesus? Number one, you have cultural forgiveness. Number two, you have considered forgiveness. The idea here is, okay, well, we don't want to be abused, and we don't want to be hurt, and we don't want to be damaged. And yeah, certainly we have to separate sometimes, but I mean, at some point, we got to get back at the person, right? That just makes sense. So he considers it. And it, certainly it's more than the world. More than the three times it would be accepted.
That's the point. Look at verse 21. How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? He said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What's the first word of verse 23? Say it together. What is it? Therefore. Therefore. If there's a therefore, you see what it's there for. He's saying, hey, I'm going to give this whole illustration about someone that has been forgiven of so much, and yet they won't forgive of something that's far less. Because of that, you should forgive. It's certainly more than the world, but it's less than our Savior. Christian forgiveness is until 70 times 7. Now, he's not saying 490 times. It's not like you're keeping a tally, but let's just say it was. Imagine, if you will, you had somebody, and they go, and they forgive, and you go, and you say, okay, well, that's number one. Right? And you're going along, and eventually you get to 400, 500. You ladies, you probably get there pretty quick with your husbands, okay? You know, okay, well, we're pretty close to 500, preacher. The reality is, though, if that's the case and that's what happens, can I tell you, friends, the reality would be the same. You just forgive. Christian forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness should be proactive. Can we say that together? Forgiveness should be what?
Proactive.
Number two, forgiveness should be persistent. Can we say that together? Persistent. Persistent. Christian forgiveness. Number three, forgiveness should be perceptive. Look at verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Work a minute. Test this. Don't know what's going on here. Just a moment. Test this.
Yes. All right. Cool. Thanks. Thank you.
Should have a perspective. Consider this idea. Number one, you see God's forgiveness. God, of course, is likened to the king here.
What does a king do? If you can turn it down just a little bit. Thank you, brother. What does the king do? You see this story, verse number 24. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. That's a colossal amount. According to math, a talent was the largest weight back in Bible times. We can go to the next slide, Brian. We're a bit behind. It was the largest weight back in Bible times. It's a huge amount of weight. The principle, Brian, next slide, please. The principle is this, that this is a huge amount. According to math, assuming that this is gold, which would be the most likely here, this would be 1,140 million dollars, 1,000 talents. $1 billion. That's the principle here in verse 24. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him $1 billion. This is a colossal amount. It's an insane amount. You see, God's forgiveness is colossal. What God has forgiven us is so vastly huge that you can't even begin to understand it. Can you imagine $1 billion? Like, we sometimes think of it, we think of like a million. I saw something the other day, and it was a comedian. It was talking about billionaires, and it was saying, you know, one thing, you know, billionaires, for one, he was saying, if you go out to a restaurant, you know, and you're a billionaire, you're Elon Musk, you better believe that they are expecting a huge tip, one. But two, he said, one thing that billionaires don't have that we have is the joy of reaching into a pocket and finding a $20 bill. Right? Can you imagine? The $20 bill, what's that? That's a penny, right? That's nothing. It's so small. It's insanely small. Quite literally, a billionaire could walk by and see $1,000 just piled on the sidewalk, and to them, it would be like us seeing a penny on the sidewalk. You know what I mean, folks? It's an insane amount. This servant owed $1 billion to his master. But what does the master do? Look at it in the story. What does he do? He forgives him the debt. This is a king. Can you imagine, if you will, imagine our country, this might not be that hard to imagine, imagine our country going and someone owed our country $1 billion and the government just says, you know what, write it off, it's okay, not a big deal, it's all good, it's all done. The effect that would have on the economy, the effect it would have on everything, this is a colossal forgiveness. That's God's forgiveness. Number two, it was a causeless forgiveness. In this passage, he says in verse number 26, that he gets gathered and he says, hey, you're going to jail. You're gonna pay back at least what you can. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. By the way, there are a few passages in the Bible that I think are funny. This is perhaps one of the most funny. Can you imagine, if you will, someone comes to you and they owe you $1 billion? And you say, if you're just patient, I'll give you the $1 billion back. Right? I'll pay you the entire billion. I'll pay it back. You know, I got some things in the work over here. Okay? You know, I'm working at McDonald's, and I'm getting paid $15 an hour now. I just got a raise. Right? So, you know, I'm going to pay it back. Don't worry about it. I can do this. Can I tell you, friends, we all understand there was no possible way that this servant could pay this back. You all with me, folks? No way. No way that you can pay back $1 billion. You go to the bank. I encourage you. I challenge you to do this. Go to the bank. Say, hey, I'd like to take out a loan. Okay, how much? $1 billion. $1 billion. And I promise, you give it to me, I'm going to waste it, but I promise I will pay you back everything. They will laugh you out of the place. You with me, folks? Because there's no way. But yet the king forgave him. Servant had nothing to offer. You with me, folks? Nothing to offer. And by the way, can I just remind you, friends, that we have nothing to offer our king. You with me? We go and we're saved and we're a child of God and God says, hey, serve me. And it's like us trying to say, hey, be patient, we'll pay it all back. No, we won't pay it all back. You ain't paying it all back. You're not paying back what Christ forgave you from. You all with me, folks? There's no possible way. It's impossible. But yet, the Lord, the King here, forgave, regardless of what he could do, regardless of what he could give, regardless of what he could offer, he forgave. There was no cause, there was no reason, there was no rhyme. It didn't make sense, but he forgave anyways. Number three, it was a compassionate forgiveness. You see, you can picture the man begging the king and saying, if you're just patient with me, I'll pay it all back. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, it says this, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and he loosed him. He's tied up here, if you can picture. He's tied up. He's about to go to the stocks. He's about to give his life as a slave. And the king is moved with compassion and completely and totally forgives him. It's compassionate forgiveness. It's a complete forgiveness. He loosed him and forgave him the debt. Catch this. The king doesn't just loose him. He forgives him the debt. You see the difference? He could have very easily just loosed him and said, okay, well, if you say that you can pay it back, then you do what you can. And you start paying back. That is not what our king does. You all with me, folks? Our king forgives the debt. He doesn't just get us out of captivity. He forgives it fully and freely. That's our Savior. You all with me, folks? Does that not get you a little bit excited? Some of you guys are like, man, whatever. That's exciting. He forgives us. He doesn't just make it so we don't go to hell. He makes it so we are righteous in the sight of God. We are fully forgiven. If you don't get that, you will never get forgiveness. If you don't understand what our Savior has done for us, you will never understand forgiveness. You will go from one hurt to another hurt to another hurt, always focused on the little thing that someone did, the little thing that someone said, the little action that someone did. never move forward. What happens? You've heard the story. You know the parable. King outright forgives the man. He was just in bonds. He's loose. And look at the next verse. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence, in Bible times, would be about $16,000, $16,500 roughly. Not an insubstantial amount, certainly a good amount, but compared to $1 billion that he was just forgiven, if someone owed me $16,000, I'd be a little bit concerned about that. But if I was just forgiven $1 billion, I shouldn't be that concerned. Number one, God's forgiveness. Number two, see our lack of forgiveness. Number one, it's unfazed. Notice verse 28, the first phrase of this. I've read this passage before. I've preached this passage before. I don't know why I've never seen this phrase. Look at it, verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his servants. What's it saying? Picture this. The servant is before the king. Please forgive me, forgive me. Okay, I'll forgive you. He takes the bonds off. He goes out of the castle and immediately finds a fellow servant, grabs him by the neck and says, pay me everything. Do you see how quickly it changed? Do you see how fast it changed? The joy that must have swelled up inside him to know that he was completely forgiven. This changed his life. This changed his family. This changed everything. You know what I think? By the way, it did change his family. If you look at it, he said, hey, I'm going to sell your wife. I'm going to sell your kids. I'm going to sell everything just to get a little bit of it back. It changed everything, his forgiveness. You all with me? And by the way, salvation does that to us, doesn't it? It changes everything. But he went out unfazed. It didn't affect him. He goes out of the castle and immediately grabs someone by the throat to get back what he's owed. It's unfazed. Number two, it's unfocused. 100 pence, like I mentioned, 100 pence is not an insubstantial amount, $16,000. It's a pretty good bit of money. A pence is a day's wage. So you do 100 days' wages. That's a pretty substantial amount of money. $16,000, that's pretty substantial. You all with me, folks? If someone owes you $16,000, you'd be pretty concerned to get that money back. But when you consider, when you focus on how much this man had been forgiven, then it's not that big. Can I just say real quick, some of you are holding a hurt that is a big hurt. It's big to you. And I'm not diminishing how big it is. You all with me, folks? I'm not diminishing that it's big. I'm not diminishing that it hurt. I'm not diminishing how much someone owes you. But I am saying, compared to what you owe Christ, it is nothing. It is a drop in a bucket. It's a speck of sand on the seashore. It is nothing compared to what you owe Christ. And when you get that perspective, you know what you say? You say, you know what? I can forgive that person, even though what they did was pretty awful. And what they owe me is pretty substantial. I can forgive them because I'm focused on what he did for me. You all with me, folks? I'm focused on what the Lord has forgiven. So therefore, I can forgive. It's unfazed. It's unfocused, our lack of forgiveness. Number three, it's uncaring. In this passage, this man says the exact same words that the first man said to the king. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. It's uncaring. You know what that means? Here's the idea that Christ showed compassion to us. He loved us. He cared for us, even while we're sinners. Is that not what he did for us, friends? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You all with me, folks? He cared for us. He loved us. He died for us. He sent his only begotten Son, the perfect one, the Son of God, to come to this cruel, wicked world, to be nailed to a cross. He did that for you and me. and we can't love somebody that hurts us? What kind of callous wickedness is that? It's uncaring. It's unfazed. It's unfocused. Number four, it's unmistakable. Verse 31. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? What's it saying? Catch this. Stay with me, please. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, everybody saw it and everybody knew about it. Can I just say, friends, your lack of forgiveness is not something that you only keep to yourself. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. He says, beware lest the root of bitterness spring up and thereby many be defiled. The way I understand this is, how many of you have ever had wisteria? You know what wisteria is? You've heard of wisteria? Wisteria is a vine. It came from China, and it's a vine that for some reason at our house back in Wilson, they planted in the backyard. They planted it along our fence row in the backyard. So they planted it. It was just a little vine, and they planted this wisteria. Now, wisteria is insane. It will grow so fast. We did everything to kill that wisteria. Did we not, Beck? We burnt it. We poured gasoline on it. We sprayed it with every type of Roundup imaginable. You with me, folks? We did everything. Guess what? It's still there. Thank you, Joan. Amen. You've been there. You've done that, haven't you? It was always there. It's like one year I remember. I'm like, I'm so sick of this wisteria. I had allergies to it. It would make my eyes swell up and all these things. I'm like, I'm doing something about this wisteria. So I remember for like a week, I went out with chainsaws, with axes, with shovels, and I dug up every bit of wisteria. Guess what? It came right back. It came back more. I don't even know how that's possible. I'm like, I told Becky, I said, how on earth is there more wisteria now than there was last year? I don't get it. I still don't get it. If we could find a way to eat wisteria, there would be no world hunger. It's insane. It grows and it spreads. And it very quickly took over our entire back fence row. Then it started growing along the side fence row. Our neighbor, he moved in. He bought the house next to us. And he went and he said, hey, is there anything you could do about that? I said, you do your best, brother. Because there ain't nothing. And it was spreading and it came to the other fence row. Eventually it took over and we died. And it was sad. I'm just kidding. We didn't die. And so it just was everywhere. Can I say? That's what unforgiveness does. Little root goes and spreads. You think your lack of forgiveness is only affecting you? It's not. It's affecting your kids. It's affecting your marriage. It's affecting this church. It's affecting your workplace. It's affecting your walk with God. Don't think a little bit of unforgiveness is a minor thing. It's a big thing. You with me, friends? Beware lest the root of bitterness spring up and thereby many be defiled. Friends, be careful. Be careful. This passage, what happens at the end? The servant is punished because of his lack of forgiveness. He goes, and because he won't forgive, the master goes and punishes him for it. And by the way, can I just say, your lack of forgiveness will affect your walk with God. Y'all with me, friends? Do not think, oh, pastor, you don't understand what they did to you. I don't understand what they did, but I do understand what God did for you. Pastor, you don't understand the hurt that I went through. I don't understand the hurt that you went through, nor would I ever say that I do, but I do know what God went through for you. I do know what the Savior did for you. He suffered and bled and died to redeem you. That's why we sang about redemption today. He did all of it for you to buy you back. He loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. So when we're struggling with forgiving, we need to think about what he's forgiven. There's one statistic I didn't give in that lifeway study. It said that people that understand, it was a very interesting thing. It said, it was a poll of Christians in general. Here's what it said in summary. It said, Christians, in quote, that believed that they were saved by their works, okay, Catholics, people like that, were less likely to forgive than people that realized that they were saved by grace alone through faith alone. Not by a little bit. I believe it was 60%. I wish I had put that statistic up. 60% roughly of people that realized that they were saved by grace alone through faith alone were willing to forgive, while 30-something were not willing to forgive. Can I say, friends, when we understand what Christ has done for us, we should forgive. We should forgive. So my question for you is this, very simple question. Are you a forgiving person? Do you have someone in your heart, in your mind, that as I've been preaching through this, a person came to your mind, an action, a memory came to your mind, and you haven't gotten over it. You haven't forgiven. You're holding it. It's a grudge that you just can't move past. Can I tell you, friend, you can never be what God wants you to be until you forgive. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. As Beck makes her way to the piano, a few very simple questions. First question is this: do you know for sure you're a child of God? Listen, stay with me here, friends, okay? Stay with me here, because it's so important. And I don't want to gloss over this. Friend, if you don't know for sure that you've been forgiven, you need to receive Christ's forgiveness. Christ's forgiveness is free. Christ's forgiveness is full. It's complete. It's plus nothing, minus nothing. It's not for you to work toward. It's something that you just receive by faith. In the same way that I gave the silly illustration about Andrew and said, hey, Andrew, would you forgive me about the car? And Andrew said, yes, I will. In a very real way, we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, you've paid the debt for me. Would you forgive me? And the Lord says, yes, I will. So I'm asking you, friend, have you done that? Have you received Christ's forgiveness? You say, Pastor, no one's looking. It's just me, okay? The only reason I'm looking is so I can help you if you need help. Not going to call you out. Not going to embarrass you. I don't do that. That's not what I do here. You say, Pastor, I'm sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, no doubts, no questions. Don't lie to God. I know it. I'm sure of it. I have been forgiven. I am a child of God. God has forgiven all of my sin. I put my faith in him, and I am forgiven. If that's you, would you raise your hand? No doubts, no questions. I know it. I'm sure of it. Thank you. You can put your hands down. A few, I didn't see your hand. Maybe you popped it up real quick. Friend, if you don't know for sure, you're on your way to heaven. I want to help you with that. There's no greater gift. No greater gift than the forgiveness of sin. Every one of us are sinners. Not one of us have not sinned against the Lord in thousands, hundreds of thousands of ways. We're all sinners, myself included. Praise the Lord, we have a Savior that forgives. Friend, if you don't know for sure, today, you can seek the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, you died for me. You took my punishment. You took my penalty. Lord, I'm trusting in you to save me, to forgive me. If you believe in your heart that Christ died for you, that he was buried, that he rose again for you, and you, in simple faith, trust him, call upon him with your heart and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. And God promises that he will. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to give money to the church. You don't have to do any of that. You have to go to the Lord seek forgiveness. He came to you, friend. Now you have to respond. Right now, in the quietness of this time, would there be anyone that would say, hey, Pastor, that's what I want to do. I'm not going to call you out, not going to embarrass you, not going to do any of that stuff, but I want to help you with it. Say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure. I need Christ's forgiveness. If that's you, would you pop your hand up just for a second? I'm the only one looking. Anybody at all? Good. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Friend, right now, here's what you do. You go to the Lord. You say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that you died on the cross for me. You paid the penalty, the punishment for my sin, so that you could forgive me. Lord, I am putting my faith and my trust in you and you alone for salvation. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you've done that, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've done that, I want to talk to you afterwards. Catch me, okay? Catch me if you've done that, okay? Talk to me afterwards. Second question, focus of this message, friends. Forgiveness. Are we forgiving people? When everyone raised their hands earlier, a good number of us said, yeah, we're children of God. Can I ask you, are you forgiving like a child of God? Are you like the servant that has been forgiven of $1 billion and yet goes after the person that owes him 15,000 to 16,000? How many of you would say and be honest with God and say, hey, there's something in my life that the Lord pointed out that I need to forgive and I need to move forward. I need to get it corrected. I need to get it settled. Pastor, would you pray for me that I do that? If that's you, would you raise your hand? There's something in my life that I need to get forgiven. I need to get it settled. Be honest with God, friend. Be honest with God. Good, thank you. Several hands. Listen, here's how you do that. And it ain't going to be easy. But according to this passage, what do? You go to the person that hurt you. Is that not what it says? Go to them and tell them. Now, they may have forgotten a long time ago. They may not even remember it. But if you're still holding on to it, then you really only have two choices. Either you go and you say, Lord, what's done is done. And I forbear one another, as Ephesians 4 says. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be patient. I'm just going to forgive them. Or you go to them and you say, hey, what you did was hurtful, and it hurt me. That's the only biblical expectation. That's the only options, friends. So that's what you do. You go and you seek forgiveness. Maybe it's someone in this place that you need to seek forgiveness from. That you need to ask them to forgive. Friend, get it settled today. Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. Lord, I pray for the one that said that they accepted Christ. I pray that they would know for sure of that. Lord, that they would talk to me afterwards, get that settled once and for all. I can get them some things that can help them with that. Lord, I pray for the good number of us that said, hey, in some way, Lord, we need to be forgiving people. There's some hurts. There's some difficulties that we just haven't moved past. Lord, I pray that you would give strength and help to those hurts. Lord, forgive. Lord, I pray for those people that potentially were the ones that did the hurt, that they would respond in humility and love. Lord, that we would have a great unity and a great care and a great compassion that exemplifies and illustrates your love for us in this place. Lord, how quickly our flesh creeps in. How quickly we lose sight of what you've done for us. So, Father, I pray furthermore that, Lord, you would strengthen us to always keep the cross in the forefront of our minds, to remember what you did for us. Strengthen us in these things. When the temptation to not forgive comes, help us to remember how much we've been forgiven. Work in us in these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Becky's going to play. Here's what I want you to do. If you went and you said, hey, there's somebody in my life that hurt me that I have not forgiven, then right now you go and you think through, how am I going to get that taken care of? Maybe you might go to the Lord and say, Lord, it's done. It's It's long ago. They don't even know about it. Lord, I'm just forgiving. I'm forbearing. Lord, I'm just going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be patient, and I'm just going to forgive. Maybe it's something you have to address. You need to deal with it. For your sake, for the offender's sake, you need to deal with it. If that's the case, then you have to think right now, how am I going to do that? What steps am I going to take? How is it going to happen? Maybe you got to call somebody. Maybe you got to send an email. Maybe you got to send a letter. Whatever it is, you got to think through it right now, because here's the reality. If you don't think through it now, you're going to go out these doors and not do it. And the root's going to come right back up. It's going to be the wisteria vine that takes over. You got to deal with it now. That's why we have invitations. So right now, think through, okay, how am I going to do this? Maybe you think, and you're thinking, you know what? I was the offender. I'm someone that hurt somebody, and I know I did. I've not been the husband I should be. I've not been the wife I should be. I've not been the church member I should be. I've not been the parent I should be. Not been the coworker I should be. I need to go to some people and seek forgiveness. Friend, if that's the case, then again, figure out how to do that. Seek them out. Find them. Make it a priority. Listen, friends, it's great to listen to a message, but if we go out the same way we came in, then what was the point? Seek God right now. Correct what needs to be corrected. Let's sing the chorus to this song together as a testimony from our heart and a prayer to our heart. In the cross, be my glory ever. Let's sing it together. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Rest beyond the river. Amen. I hope this has been a challenge and encouragement to you. One more thing I forgot to mention, okay, and then we'll be dismissed. We're going to have a brief, and I mean very brief, business meeting tonight after the service. So make your plans to be here. We got to discuss something. A fire marshal came out, and we got to discuss some things. So that's really what we're doing. So it's not a huge thing, but it's regarding the outdoor kitchen, for those of you that have heard about that. So we just got to figure out what steps to take. Okay? God bless y'all.